Can I just say thank you to the band and our musicians, not only leading us Sunday by Sunday, but they're here from 8 o'clock in the morning getting ready, so their commitment is very much appreciated. Thank you, folks. As I said earlier, this is the sort of last Sunday that we'll be looking at the book of James. And James is a very, very practical book that addresses a lot of issues that we face. The issues of temptation, of prejudice, of how we deal with our money, of how we talk. All these things that are very practical, very real issues for us, James helps us to wrestle with them and to move forward and to grow in our Christian lives. But one of the interesting things about the book of James is that it is bookended. All these practical issues have a bookend, beginning and end, and that bookend is simply prayer. Right at the beginning, oh, I wonder, can we have my laptop, Johnny? Right at the beginning of James 1, James talks about wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, what do you do? Do you panic? Do you read? Do you join a self-help group? No. You ask God, you pray. And this is the God who gives generously to all without finding fault and is given to you. And then he adds this, when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. So right at the beginning, there's this aspect of prayer. And then this morning's passage right at the end, where James again focuses on prayer. All those practical issues that we address are important, but we do so in a prayerful way. Going back to these couple of verses in James chapter 1, there are a few things to highlight in them. Simply this. It starts with asking God. It starts with praying. And James says this, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Believe and not doubt. Now, what does he mean? When it comes to praying, what does James mean when he says we must believe and not doubt? Is he simply saying you can ask for whatever you like, and as long as you really believe in what you're asking for, you'll get it? Believe and receive. I don't think that's what he's saying. If that was what James was saying, the world would be chaotic because we would all ask for wonderful things, we would all ask for different things, and if it was simply a matter of believing in what you ask for, it would be chaos. It can't be that. This believing and not doubting is not about us. It's not about our prayers. It's about believing and not doubting the God to whom we pray. And we need to get that foundation right. It's about believing and not doubting the God to whom we pray. This great big God. This God who cares for you, and so you can cast your cares on him. Believing and not doubting is pointed towards God. Not towards us, not towards our prayers. So what does that mean for us? Well, it means quite a lot. Let me give you some examples. It means believing and not doubting that God loves you. How often do we sing it? Jesus loves me, this I know. Do we? Believing and not doubting that God loves you. And he loves you, and he wants the best for you. We need to believe that and not doubt it as we pray. God wants the best for me because he loves me. We need to believe and not doubt in God's wisdom. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. Not only does he want the best for you, he knows what is best for you. Believe. Don't doubt it. God knows what is best for you. He's also the God who is powerful, He can do what is best for you. This is our great big God. The God who loves you. The God who knows what's best for you. The God who can do what is best for you. And any other God is not worth having. That song that we sing, Our God is a Great Big God, I don't think we can sing that often enough to ourselves. Because there are times when we limit God. We look at what's going on in our own lives or in the lives of others or in our own nation or in the world, and we think, well, that's never going to change. Well, that's never going to be solved. Our God is a great big God. James would say, ask, believe, don't doubt. Our God is a great big God. And it's important that we get that the right way around. It's important that we understand the God to whom we're coming. This is not some sort of small, insignificant, powerless God. This is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all creation, the God who loves you, the God who is wise, the God who is powerful. We need to believe and not doubt in Him as we pray. John Newton, one of his hymns, puts it like this: Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. Our God is a great big God. We can never ask too much as we believe in Him and don't doubt Him. And it's important that we get all of that in the right order as we come to look at this passage in James chapter 5. Our faith is not in our praying. Our faith is in the God to whom we pray. Our faith is not in our own words. Our faith is not in our own wisdom, our own power. Our faith is in the God who is loving, wise, and powerful. And that background helps us to understand a little bit more of what James is saying in James chapter 5. When you turn to James chapter 5, James talks about three kinds of praying. He says, first of all, you should pray for yourself. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. It seems a very simple, a very obvious thing, and yet, how often are we slow to do it? It's interesting, all the wonderful things that people will try and try to do and try to be involved in to get themselves out of that trouble, but often the last thing we think of is to pray. James simply starts it. If you're in trouble, pray. Believing and not doubting in the God to whom you pray. So all of us should be praying people. All of us. It's not just for some enthusiastic little band within the church who gather in some strange room out the back here on a Wednesday evening and pray. It's all of us. James simply says, if you're in trouble, pray. There's also this little passage. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. It's interesting. It's not about an individual. It's not about find somebody who's gifted in prayer and get them to come. It's about the life of the church. Calling the elders to come and to pray. So we're praying for ourselves. We're asking others to come and to pray for us. We're also praying for each other. And sometimes we're slow to do that. How often have you said, or somebody said to you, I'd pray for you? And they walk away and you never really know whether they do or not. You hope they do. Wouldn't it be a much better situation if when somebody shares something with you, you simply said, can I pray for you now? It takes a wee bit of bravery to do it, a wee bit of courage. It doesn't need a long, wordy prayer. It's simply a short prayer, praying for each other. We're blessed to have a team of folks who meet after church, after the service, to pray with and for people. It's great to have them, and they do a wonderful job. But my dream is that they will become redundant. My dream is that we will not need to have a prayer ministry team, because you folks will be the prayer ministry team. My dream is that if you come in with something on your head, in your head or on your heart, you can simply turn to the person beside you and say, this is what's going on. Would you pray for me? And it becomes part of our life, part of our community, simply normal to pray with and for each other. James talks about these three kinds of praying, but again, it's important. It's not about a special gift. It's not about an individual. It's about the God to whom we pray. So as we pray for ourselves, as we call others to come and pray for us, as we pray with and for each other, we lift each other to this God who is the great big God. Three kinds of praying. We have lots of opportunities for prayer around here. Before the service on a Sunday morning, there are folks gathered in the octagon simply to pray for what happens here. Every other Wednesday evening, there's a prayer time. Our elders meet the last Saturday of the month to pray for the life and witness of the congregation. As I've said, this afternoon, 5:30, we have an opportunity for prayer. I know there are folks meeting prayer partners around the congregation. They're all opportunities for prayer, opportunities to come together and to live out what James calls us to. That's why we ran the Alpha Prayer Course. It was a wonderful time of encouragement in the congregation, simply to see folks grow, not only in their understanding of prayer, but in the fact that they prayed. It wasn't there simply to fill up Sunday evenings for 6 or 7 weeks. It was there to help us become those praying people that God wants us to be. Please do take advantage of prayer opportunities within the congregation. Be part of them. James makes this statement, the prayer of a righteous man or woman is both powerful and effective. Now, what does a righteous man look like? Now, we tend to think of somebody who's self-righteous, somebody who's, you know, above contradiction, somebody who gives the impression that they've got their whole life together, somebody who gives the impression that everybody else is not quite there, but they are. That's not what the Bible talks about. When the Bible talks about somebody who is righteous, the Bible talks about someone who wants above all else to do the will of God, to know and to do the will of God. That's a righteous person in God's eyes. Someone whose heart's desire is to know God's will and then to be obedient to God's will. So when James makes this statement about a righteous person, James is saying the prayer of a person whose heart's desire it is to know and to do God's will is powerful and effective. because they're praying not my will, but yours, Lord. When Jesus bows in Gethsemane, that's his prayer. Not my will, but yours. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, that's our prayer. Thy will be done. Not mine. Not my groups, not my churches. So the prayer of someone whose heart it is to know and do the will of God is powerful and effective. And that's where we need to be. Hearts that are fixed on God. Hearts that desire to know what is God's will. Because we look at our own situation, we look at the lives of others, we look at things that are going on around us, and we think we know what the answer is. If I were you, and on it goes. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And then you say, well, Stephen, that's beyond me. That's going to take some sort of super saint to do that. Who on earth could do that? And James is there ahead of us, and he said, well, let me tell you about one man. Let me tell you about this man, Elijah. He was flesh and blood, just like you and me. He prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Why does James tell us this? Because Elijah was just like you and me. He wasn't any different. But he was a man who wanted to know what God wanted. He was a man who wanted to see what God wanted happen. And he prayed. And it happened. Elijah, just like you and me. Sometimes we can be discouraged. Sometimes in prayer meetings, prayer gatherings, one of the things that makes it difficult for people is when they listen to others praying long and wonderful prayers, and they think, goodness, I could never pray like that. Goodness, I could never be a prayer warrior like that. James would say, no, listen, it's just a man, just a person, flesh and blood like you. All the struggles that you have, Elijah had them. And yet God answered his prayer. This verse from John Newton has really stuck in my mind this week. Elijah, pray that it won't rain. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how Elijah felt? And yet Elijah knew that this was the God whose grace and power was such that he could never ask too much. And he comes with this audacious request, no rain. And God answers. And then he prays, Lord, let it rain. And it answers. And he answers, and it rains. Elijah knew the truth long before John Newton penned these words of our great big God. In the midst of all this, we're called to be faithful in prayer, to be people who do pray. Time and time again in the Gospels, Jesus simply says, when you pray. Not if you pray or when you get around to it, but when you pray. You pray to this God who is loving, wise, and powerful. Almost at the end of this chapter, James has these couple of verses which seem to be out of place. James, you've been talking about prayer, you've been talking about healing, you've been talking about people being restored, and now all of a sudden you're talking about people wandering from the truth. You're talking about sinners. Why would he do that? I think James wants us to know that physical healing is not the most important thing. James wants us to know that our salvation is the important thing. Being brought into this family of faith through faith in Jesus Christ is the most important thing. And that's where James finishes this letter, encouraging us in this great big God to pray, but most of all, to pray for salvation. Who is it around you, your family, friends, work colleagues, whoever it is, that you need to pray for, that they come to know and to love Jesus? That's the most important thing. If you were at New Horizon, I think it was the last evening of New Horizon, we're blessed to have a man called Jago Wynn speaking. And he used a very powerful illustration. He had a great long rope that he would use for tug of war, a heavy rope. At one end of it, he had a short section marked off. And he said, this is your life, this little section at the end of the rope. And the rest of this huge long rope, and you couldn't see the end of it. That's eternity. So often in our prayers, we focus on this little section, this here and now. And so understandably, we pray for healing, and we look for healing, and we long for healing. And thankfully, God in his grace does give healing. But this side of heaven, there will never be complete healing. Even Lazarus, that Jesus raised from the dead, died again. We focus on this short section of the rope, and yet all of eternity is left. James doesn't want to leave us in that situation. James says, in the midst of all that's going on, remember the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember to pray for and to be with those who have walked away from the truth. Because that's an eternal thing. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. Let's pray together. Lord, forgive us that in our heads, in our hearts, we have made you small. We have reduced you to a God who was weak and powerless. By your Spirit, through your word, encourage us, we pray, to know that it's not only in a children's song that you are a great big God. For that is who you are. And then, Lord, help us to pray believing and not doubting. And And this we ask in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.